The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was growing up, I didn't like doing chores. Who of us really did, or at least house chores? We had goats for a few years with 4-H. I didn't like doing those chores either. But I didn't like cleaning the bathrooms, vacuuming the living room, or whatever Mom put on the list. She tried so many things to get my brother and I to do our chores timely and cheerfully. She tried, I think, the obvious thing, at least first, punishment. Well, if that didn't work, maybe a little bit of bribery. And our allowance was tied to whether or not we got our chores done that week. But for me, personally, can't speak for my brother, but for me, there was one exception for chores. I didn't mind doing chores. In fact, I was glad to do chores when it was almost Thanksgiving. We hosted Thanksgiving at our house a lot. You know how you have those traditions and you go to certain places for Easter, for Christmas, and Thanksgiving or whatever? The Uphoff house was where Thanksgiving happened. Grandparents from both sides, sometimes aunts, uncles, and cousins, and we would all squeeze in our dining room together at the big table, and of course, all the stops were pulled out for the food. I loved Thanksgiving. Happy childhood memories right there. And even then, at the time, I knew this is great. So, to get ready for it, I would do anything Mom wanted. I would even go above and beyond. I remember one year in particular, without her asking me, I cleaned all the bathrooms. And I mean all of them. I was excited to do it because of what was coming, what that day meant. And once that day came, and I'd set the table, I always like to do that part too, I would go to that window, the same one I would look out for, waiting for the bus to come. And I wasn't looking for the bus this time, though, but as noon approached, I was looking for the familiar vehicles of Grandma and Grandpa coming down the same road the bus would come down, and Grandma and Grandpa Uphoff coming down Route 10 from the west. I was just so excited, the anticipation of the day and what it was going to be, just the togetherness was just so strong in me, where nothing you could have done or said to me would have made me upset or sad. It was a good day all around, and I have no bad memories from Thanksgiving. I was watching in joyful anticipation. Fast forward a few years, away from middle school into high school. Picture me sitting, not in front of that window, looking for my grandparents. I want you to picture, I think it was sophomore year, me, sitting next to the secretary of the Dean of Students' Office at Lincoln Community High School. I was waiting for somebody to come, but it wasn't my grandparents. I was waiting for Dean Lundeen to come and tell me what was going to happen to me for my infraction that I got sent to the dean's office. I think it happened to me 3 or 4 times in high school. Well, this one, it was well-deserved punishment. I knew there was no explanation to get out of it. And no, I can't tell you here from the pulpit what it was. But I knew that when she got there, from wherever she was, I was going to be in trouble. I was waiting. I was watching. But with a very different feel than the waiting and watching that happened on Thanksgiving Day before everybody got there. How you feel when you are waiting for someone depends entirely, 100%, on who that person is and what they are coming for. If it's grandparents that are bringing presents or food and the promise of a good day for a holiday, well, you're waiting with excitement. You're waiting with joyful anticipation. I think it's not too much to say. If you're waiting for the dean of students and you know that a punishment is going to be doled out, you're waiting with some apprehension in your stomach, a little bit of fear and dread. That day, I think I got after-school suspension for like an hour or two. And it wasn't so bad, it could have been worse, but I still had that dread in the moment while I was waiting. But when you're waiting for those different people, for those different things, for better or for worse, no one can convince you how you need to feel. It's instinctive. It just comes naturally. Mom didn't have to say, you should be really excited today. Grandparents are coming. Thanksgiving's here once again. It's going to be a great day. Nope. That feeling of joy and excitement was just there. And the dean's secretary didn't have to say, you should be nervous right now. I was nervous regardless. The feeling is just there. And that brings us to today, the first Sunday in Advent. Often the season of Advent is swallowed up by Christmas, isn't it? We all know, it's sort of a trope for pastors to mention it in sermons, and I'm not going to be the exception, that the Christmas music and decorations and selling in stores gets started earlier and earlier every year. I think it used to be Halloween was the marker. Well, now I've been to some stores where, of course, they had stuff out in September, playing jingle bells and the like. We have the shopping that goes on. We even put up our own decorations in church in our own homes. We're going to put up Christmas decorations this afternoon. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite here and tell you it's not great. Well, we do it ourselves. No. We have programs and parties in a normal year that we go to. We all know that the 12 days of Christmas isn't the 12 days leading up to Christmas, but it begins on Christmas Day and goes all the way up to Epiphany. But we never have our Christmas programs and Christmas parties then. We always front load those before Christmas. So yes, the church season of Advent is overshadowed by Christmas to come. And in a way, Advent, which is about coming, kind of in our minds takes on a new meaning. It's Christmas is coming. That's what we think of when we think of Advent and we bring out the purple here in December. But really, that's not quite what Advent is about. You see, today's the first Sunday in the church year, and the church year begins just how it ended in the last 3 weeks. It ends preparing for Christ's coming, not Christmas coming, but Christ in his second coming. And indeed, we know, just as he promised, Jesus is coming again. There will be a last day, and this world will end, and the new heavens and the new earth will take its place. But the thought of that coming, the thought of our Lord Jesus Christ returning to this world, it evokes different reactions and different feelings in people who hear about that coming. People feel different ways as they wait for that coming. Consider the gospel reading from Matthew this morning. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he had quite a welcome from people. The week started off in a very different way that it developed and ended. People were full of the news of his reputation, all the things that he had done, and they were excited when this man from Nazareth was coming into town, so excited that they rolled out the proverbial red carpet, laying down their coats on the road, and the palm branches accompanying those signs of reverence and welcome with loud shouts of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, son of David. And they greeted him, not with indifference, not with trepidation, but they greeted Jesus as they were watching and waiting for him with pure joy, happiness that he was there. But his coming did not produce the same reaction for everybody in Jerusalem. The scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, if they were there that day, it was only watching, gauging the response of the crowd, seeing which way the wind was blowing, looking, though, for an opportunity, as we know, to pounce on Jesus and to get him finally and to stop him, his teaching, and his miracles and all the people following after him. You see, Jesus' coming for the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees did not mean good things. They were waiting, but not with joyful expectation, but anger and resentment and bitterness. Because Jesus' coming for them meant marginalization of them and their views and their teaching and the little lock that they had on what it meant to be a pious worshiper of God. For them, it meant refutation of their teaching, their false teaching. It meant embarrassment for them as he had time and again shown up and put down the people that they had sent to catch him in his words. Now, maybe they didn't have dread quite at his coming, the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees, but it is certain that they had no joy as they were watching and waiting for Jesus to ride into town. For them, his coming was most unwelcome. Just like the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the Lord's second coming that Advent is all about, the Lord's return, evokes different feelings in different people. Many joyful, many not. For scoffers and unbelievers, it's indifferent. They just simply don't believe he is coming or don't believe in Jesus at all, so for them it's whatever. There's no watching out the window with expectation and joy. There's really even no sitting there with dread because they don't think it will be an issue. For others, though, I think about the thought of Jesus coming, there's a degree of fear mixed in with it. They think of Jesus purely as a lawgiver, coming only to judge not just the unbelievers, but even believers themselves, to come and find the little things that we did wrong that will then trump our faith. And they have this dread at the thought of Jesus coming again, believing only in a God of the law. It's understandable then that the Advent hymn, which is now in the Christmas part of the hymnal for some reason, but the Advent hymn, Joy to the World, doesn't quite capture the mood of these people. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Those are the words of Christians as we think about not just Christmas, it's okay to sing it at Christmas, but that day when the Lord does come back. They don't have those feelings. There's no joy in their heart, indifference or dread. But for Christians, those words capture precisely how we ought to and indeed how we do feel when we think that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming back, that this world, with all of its sorrow, sin, and death, is going to end and be replaced with a new and a better one forever. We have joy in our hearts. We're glad to receive our King because he's coming and he's bringing the final seal and complete salvation for all of his people. Forever. That's someone I want to look out the window for in joyful expectation. It's someone I can't wait to have come. You see, if we believe the gospel, if we believe that the cross on Calvary's Hill was where the Son of God took the sins to himself and paid for them completely, and that everybody who believes in that Son, who trusts in his word and promise, has forgiveness, life, and salvation, then that last day is not indifferent, it's not something to dread, it's something to be absolutely over the hill for. It's something to sit on the edge of that seat, looking for the signs of it coming and saying, I can't wait, I'm so glad that it is coming. Come, Lord Jesus, come and be with us and take us to be with yourself. Why that feeling? Because we know that everything is taken care of. All is done, all is ready for us to go meet him, and for him to receive us with joy and gladness that we are his and he is ours. You see, Jesus Christ is coming in the last day. And for Christians, it's not like a malicious auditor from the IRS who's looking for every little zero that you didn't carry or one that you didn't carry. He's not looking for uncrossed T's and undotted I's. No, Jesus is coming to give us finally, full, and forever the salvation that he won for us. Not to collect fees and penalties. On the last day, Jesus is coming as the one who is the victor over sin and death, and he wants nothing less on that day to finally take us, his church, to be with him, secure forever. When you think about that, when you think about what's going to happen on the last day, when Jesus Christ comes back into this world, and what it means for you as a Christian, does that not well up in your heart joy and anticipation and hope for that day, as opposed to indifferent or dread? Jesus is coming as a terror to his foes, that sentence. To those who hate him, to those who know him only as a judge, that's not good news. But for those that know he's coming to banish all joy, or to banish all sadness and sorrow and replace it with joy, well, that's good news indeed. And for those who believe that, the only response that we can have in our gut is, I can't wait. This is good. Thank God it's finally here. But kids, they wait for Christmas and they think Christmas is coming, and we do too. That's fine, anticipation. But how much more so can we, should we, and do we wait for the end day, the last day, when the Lord will be with us with things far greater than presents bought on Amazon and delivered, but with the present of eternal life and salvation with him. And when that wonderful day comes, you and I will be in our own throng, welcoming him with our own hosannas as he comes triumphant forever as our King. To the same Jesus Christ be all glory now and forever. Amen.